Good afternoon. My name is Gino Deng. I'm a PhD student from Oklahoma State University. Today I would like to talk about using the cosmic ray neutron rover to find primary drivers of mesoscale soil moisture spatial variabilities. So as we know, soil moisture is a key variable in heat and mass exchange at the land surface. But also, soil moisture is a variable that is not very easy to observe and study. And so we and it has pretty complex scaling behaviors. It has pretty strong spatial variabilities at multiple scales. So we become pretty interested in finding the primary drivers of soil moisture spatial variabilities, like at what scale. At different scales, what kind of factors are affecting the spatial variabilities? So people used to, in 1990s, people classify the drivers into two big categories. One is the land surface characteristics, and the other one is the atmospheric forcings. So in 1990s, we were still using point measurements like in situ networks, and people found the land surface characteristics can only control very small scale. It's like several meters up to 100 meter, and the atmospheric forcings can control very large scale. It's like several hundred kilometers. So people thought there was no overlap between these two main drivers. But after 2000, as the aircraft-based remote sensing technology developed, we have some new input, some new data, and we found people found the land surface characteristics can control a much larger scale. It's up to like several 100 kilometers length scale. So, which means there could be a very big overlap between these two main drivers. So, but this is still pretty controversial, and unfortunately, we don't have much options at this scale. It's roughly the mesoscale. There is a significant scale gap between. In situ, like point measurements and the satellite remote sensing. And fortunately, we have the rover, and the rover can measure soil moisture at the mesoscale. And I would like to briefly introduce the mechanisms of the rover. This is how the rover looks like. On the right, there are two white boxes. There are the detectors are inside those two boxes. So every time we just put those two detectors into a truck and drive it around, and that makes it a rover. So the cosmic ray neutron rovers basically measures the fast neutron counts in the atmosphere. And those fast neutrons were generated by the cosmic rays from the outer space. And the salt water can significantly slow down those fast neutrons. So some of them become slow neutrons. So soil moisture has is inversely related to neutron counts, just like the figure shows. So the more fast neutrons we can the rover can detect, the less less water is in the soil. So with these mechanisms, because fast neutrons are moving really fast, the main feature of the rover is its large footprint. It's right in between the it's right at the mesoscale. So the footprint of the rover is about 400 meter radius. And with the rover, we designed an experiment to explore the spatial variabilities at the mesoscale. And this we designed a transect. This transect is located in north central Oklahoma. It's about 150 kilometers long. And with a driving speed of 30 miles per hour, the pixel size of each measurement is about 800 meters. And every time we collected about 190 points. And we repeatedly did this for 18 days, which covers over 13 months. And you can see in this map, there are four yellow pins. They are our calibration sites. They are all located at permanent monitoring stations. So the challenging part of this project is we need to do a calibration for this very long transect. And at those four calibration sites that we chose, we collected 14 cores and divided each core into three depths. And we average all those soil samples to represent aerial soil moisture. And the calibration equation is this shape-defining function. There is only one parameter and not need to be estimated. And this, as I just mentioned, soil water content is inversely correlated with neutron counts. So the x-axis is the neutron counts, and the y-axis is the soil water content. And we got a very good calibration result with an R-square equals to 0.994 and RMSE less than 1%. So once we calculate the N-naught, we can convert fast neutron counts into soil moisture using this shape-defining function. Okay, this is the data we got. This is the fast neutron counts for all 18 dates, and the x-axis is the distance from 0 to 150, and the y-axis is the date from May 2015 to June 2016, and the color shows the fast neutron counts. And there's you may already perceive that there are some patterns already emerged. From 100 to 150 kilometers, it's always darker, no matter which day it is. It's always darker than the rest of the transect. And after we're converting the neutron counts into soil moisture, it's still there. And this one is I think it's more clear that no matter it's a wet day or a dry day, this part of the transect is always drier than the rest part of the transect. So to investigate the primary drivers of this kind of pattern, we chose sand content to represent land surface characteristics and antecedent precipitation index, API, to represent atmospheric forcings. For the sand content, we tried some other variables, but we think the sand content is the best one. And for precipitation, we have to calculate the API to this variable is just has a better behavior than the precipitation, and the original precipitation data is hourly multi-sensor precipitation estimates, so and it has a resolution of 4 kilometers. So actually they are just the radar maps. We extract the radar closest pixels and generate a precipitation transect. And here is one example from August 7th, 2015. X-axis is still the distance from 0 to 150, and the y-axis is the three variables, water content, sand content, and API. And you may notice that the API is much coarser than the other two variables. And to compare these spatial patterns, we use two methods. The first one is a spatial autocorrelation function to compare spatial structures between different variables. And the second one is to determine which variable is more important. It's Pearson correlation coefficient. And here is the spatial autocorrelation function. It, on the right, the axis is the lag distance. It's not the distance anymore. The lag distance is the distance between any two points along the transect. And you can imagine if two points are further apart, they their correlation, autocorrelation, would be small. And I plotted those three variables into one figure, and we use an exponential model to fit all three variables in all 18 days. And if we look at the exponential model closely, there are two parameters. And one parameter is L. So one negative 1 over L is the slope of the autocorrelation functions on the right. And L is actually, some physical meaning. It's called the correlation length. So we did this for all 18 days, all three variables, and we summarized all the L's, the correlation lengths, into one table. And this table shows the minimum, median, and maximum of all the correlation lengths. And for the first impression is they are not so different, and which actually answers the question at the very beginning. There is probably a big overlap between these two main drivers, since they are at the same within the same order of magnitudes. And if we look at each columns, the minimums and the medians, water content and sand content, they have almost the same correlation length. And if we look at the maximum, the API started to be important to this maximum correlation length. So it seems that land surface characteristics controls a relatively smaller scale, and atmospheric forcings control a relatively large scale. And the next, the second method is correlation coefficients. We calculate the correlation coefficients between soil moisture and sand content and soil moisture and API. And we plotted all the correlation coefficient, the absolute values of them, into one figure. And the sand content is represented by the black bars. API is represented by the gray bars. And you can see that in the sand content has a very strong and very consistent correlation coefficients with soil moisture. But for API, there are some irregular, they are not very consistent, and sometimes it's not very strong. And there are also some irregular negative values which are marked with stars. So we started to think maybe API has been used for like time series analysis, but it's not been used for like large area spatial studies. So we started to think that API may not be a very good representation of atmospheric forcings. And to summarize, we used only one calibration equation for the whole transect, and the primary, and we found substantial overlap between the two main drivers. And API may not be the best representations, but sand content exerts stronger and more steady influence on mesoscale spatial structure of soil moisture. And with that, I would like to thank the funding agencies and my co-author and advisor, Dr. Tyson Auctioner, and our soil physics group, Dr. Jason Patton, Phil, and William. And thank you. I would like to take any questions.
Can I just say that ROVA is just a neutron probe wheels, number one. Number two, the sand content is more correlated with soil moisture. that kind of surprises me because I thought it's the play instead which would do a better job.
So the first question is, is the rover just a neutron probe with wheels? Just clarify, do you mean the neutron probe with the traditional, like, active neutron probes? Do you mean
no,
that?
The neutron probe, that's because I think it's working on the same principles. The reason why the neutron probe will work is by neutrons will meet the hydrogen ions and will slow down, so it gets the speed of the neutron that we measure to be correlated so much, because the hydrogen we assume is coming from water. We don't use it where there's a lot of organic material, because there's hydrogen attached to the material. So I thought maybe the same kind of principle. So I just put it on the track.
Yes. Yes, it's mobile. It's very convenient. It's mobile and non-destructive. The second question is why is sand content is a better variable than clay content? It's just based on the observation. We also plotted the clay content. We also tried that, if I go back to that slide, you can see the sand content in the middle. It has the sand contents are very high, from 100 to 150 kilometers, and we didn't see any similar features of clay content. So we are kind of a little bit surprised too. But it turns out sand content is better.
All right. Thank you.